Thousand Pound Sisters, season 5, episodes 8 and 9. No, 7 and 8. 7 and 8. 7 and 8. Yeah, I feel like this, like, there was an intensity to this we haven't seen yet. And I was complaining last week about, like, the story editors or whatever, like, this constant just, like, it's Amy losing her shit, but I didn't feel like it was building up. Well, I think it built and it exploded.
And it does. Boiling point.
Yeah, so where are we at?
Season 5, episode 7, Deal With It. Which deal. I know, I was thinking of you. I was like, not deal with the accent. Like, no. Like the sister wives accent.
Like the sister wives.
Like literally like a dill pickle. Deal with it.
Because all of their episode names are food related. So, yeah.
Yep.
But dill. Sister wives.
Well, previously we see the family talking about taking a vacation while they're all dressed up, like looking like they're at the Kentucky Derby. We see Caleb and
sad party.
I know.
So sad.
Caleb and Tammy reunite at the rehab center, and Tammy doesn't look very happy. And then the family goes to the gym and does Zumba while Amy has a breakdown outside of the gym.
Right.
Well, at the gym. So Amy was upset because she actually said, I was sick, everyone. I was actually sick and you guys were attacking me and blah, blah, blah. What do you think? Was she really sick?
I think it's bullshit. Well, one, I mean, she felt like shit. Sure. Absolutely. She felt like shit. She hasn't shit in 2 weeks. I know what that feels like. She's not taking care of herself. She's not sleeping. She's not eating right. Like, obviously she's going to feel sick. So probably moving and all that stuff made her stomach feel sick and all that stuff. But her saying that they were giving her shit and bullying her and ganging up on her because she was sick, that's where the misinformation, miscommunication comes in, because that's not why they were ganging up on her. And I don't think they were ganging up on her. They were just like confronting her like intervention style.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And she's not having it.
Right. And of course, Chris is there to comfort her like he always is. He's like the level-headed, calm one of the family.
Brother.
Yeah. The one brother of all the women. I'm like, God, that poor guy.
I know, right?
He is saying they all need a vacation. And then let's talk about this flashback we see of Tammy and Amy getting a pedicure years ago.
Oh, okay. Do we have to talk about this?
Oh, yeah.
Because I fast forwarded it. Like, the first time I saw it, I was like, because gross. The feet were just complete nasty. Feet are gross to me anyway. I don't like other people's feet. Much less the nastiness that we were seeing. And so on my rewatches, I had to fast forward. So talk to me about what happened. I'll give you my response, but I don't know the details of it because I refused to pay that close attention to the nasty feet.
Yeah. So I touch feet all the time, so it doesn't really bother me, but there was one part of this that definitely did bother me. So first of all, in the flashback, we see how big Amy and Tammy really were at this particular nail salon. You have to step up a couple of stairs to get to the pedicure chairs. Mm-hmm. And Tammy couldn't do it, so the woman of the owner of the salon had to do a pedicure like in the manicure station. Mm-hmm. And she told Tammy if she ever lost enough weight to where she'd be able to walk up the stairs that she'd give her a free pedicure.
Lost enough weight?
Did I say lost?
No, you said lost enough weight.
If she were to ever lose enough weight.
Lost? No, you said lost in the past tense, like it's late for you.
It is extremely late for me.
Or you're doing their hillbilly talk.
Oh shit. I've
been watching too much Tammy and Amy.
I have 4 fucking degrees. I can't speak English.
Well, one of your degrees is in Spanish, right?
That's so true.
At least you have that.
I know, maybe if I spoke
That's
Spanish.
Me always thinking, the lawyer over here.
Right. So anyways, we see how big they are, and then fast forward to now, here comes Tammy strolling in the nail salon And there's the owner like, all right, here, let's do your free pedicure.
Right.
So we see Amy and Tammy's feet, and OMG, Amy's feet are black on the bottom, which mine can get dirty. It's whatever. Yeah. But then when she starts like using that tool, what is that tool even called? The little...
The scalper thing?
Yeah, you know, that like sandpaper remover, callus remover, grinder.
The pumice stone?
It looks like a cheese grater.
No, the cheese grater. That's just right. What we call it, the cheese grater thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. And she's like saying her feet look like black Parmesan cheese.
It's disgusting. That's... No, just...
Yeah, that's when I kind of felt a little...
Yeah, that I couldn't do any of it. Because that was like watching the first time, I was like, okay, I'm okay with this. I was annoyed as a consumer of pedicures, right? Like, I am one who goes and gets pedicures. I was really annoyed by the chair bowl situation because
it was weird.
It was weird, and if you weren't the right proportions, it wasn't going to work for you. It clearly wasn't working for Amy because she was shorter legs and all that stuff. Like, I don't know that it would work for me because of, you know, how I'm built. Like, I wasn't a fan of that. Like, I guess in redneck Kentucky and the spot wherever they live, like, that may be like the cool thing. But I mean, I'm just used to like the spa pedicure chairs where you can adjust them and you sit properly in them. You know what I mean? Anyway, so I was annoyed by that situation because you can't get a good relaxing pedicure if you're not sitting.
There's no shiatsu massage going on, I don't think, in those chairs.
You know what? And that I'm okay with, right? Like, but I can't sit and relax in the chair and get my feet worked on if it's just...
Yeah, you're not fitting in it correctly.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So when I was watching it the first time, when I was doing okay. I was doing okay. When she started scraping her feet, I was like, okay, no, ma'am. No, ma'am. And that's when I stopped it, fast forwarded it, caught up afterwards. And then each rewatch subsequent was the same thing. I'm like, oh, they're walking into the salon. The salon.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was funny.
Wasn't that okay? Can we ask this question? Does it make Amy a rude customer for not having at least rinsed her feet, washed her feet?
I don't think so. You're literally putting your feet in soapy water. So like, I get her mentality of like, whatever.
I mean, that's...
do you shave your legs before you go get a massage, or do you exfoliate before you get a massage? Yeah, I mean,
but I do make sure I'm showered before I go.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean? Like, that I've showered that day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I try to make sure that my body's clean, you know, like, same when I go see you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I shower in the morning before I go see you because you see more of me, as much of me, if not more, than the massage person too, right?
Right. I think like it's because you... I don't want to say you respect your body, because I don't mean for it to sound a certain type of way, but I feel like you respect yourself enough to present yourself to another person in a way that's clean, at least.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're going to get a pedicure, is it considered rude? Like, maybe we need to ask a pedicure person.
I bet you we could ask Michelle.
I was going to say, nails. We can ask Michelle. She's an esthetician, right?
Yeah, she used to do nails. I don't think they care, honestly.
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because, like, gynecologists don't care if you, like, shave your cooter, right?
No, nobody cares about anything, yeah.
Well, theoretically, nobody should care about you. But that's a whole other gripe. But, like, you should at least be sort of clean down there, right? Like... I mean, do you shower before you go to the gynecologist?
Oh, absolutely. About this last time when I had the biopsy and the IUD insertion, I had to take a shower and then I had to work and I had to run. So I was working for 4 hours before going.
Yeah, I'm not going to, you know, if I go to the gym or something, I'm going to shower before I go, right? Like, that's just because I think it's rude to stick a stinky cooter right up in the gynecologist's face that they're working on. So wouldn't it also follow that it's rude and gross to stick your dirty, stinky, nasty feet in somebody's face? Like, what's the level of gross that's tolerable? Like, it's expected because it's that part of the body. Like, there's a certain, like, there's certain expectations about, like, smells and stuff like that, because women's cooters have a certain scent to them, right? It's not a bad scent unless you haven't showered in like a week, and then maybe you have a problem, you know?
I don't know. I can tell you from my personal experience working on bodies, I don't personally care about anything. What smells?
None of that matters to you?
No, honestly. I'm just there to do my job and help somebody. It doesn't bother me.
This is helpful. This is helpful. Maybe I won't shower tomorrow before I go see you.
You shouldn't. Let's come natural.
Maybe. I took a bath tonight.
There you go. You're one step ahead of me. I probably smell
like freesia. A bath bomb.
Right.
Anyway. All right.
Yeah.
So if you guys have thoughts, let us know.
So after the wonderful pedicure where Amy's black feet have been, all the dirt has been removed, Tammy receives a package from Caleb, and I'm expecting, I don't know, something nice. And it's dollar store body soap and air fresheners. I'm like,
oh my God,
what the hell is
happening? This was so like, oh my God, like Caleb, like he tried so hard, but he just missed the mark, right? Like the idea that, oh, Tammy likes smell good stuff. Okay. I don't know. I think nice candles, you know, maybe not a bath bomb. I don't think she's a bath person, but like candles, something like that, right? Like maybe fun lotions or something. No, Caleb's idea of smell goods is dollar store body wash and literal deodorizers or whatever those
air, those little air fresheners that
air fresheners
your...
air fresheners yeah. And like, what did he get her some spray too, and like yes. some like Lysol, like what? And then like upon one of my rewatches, because like at first I was like, oh, he's just so not quite there. I mean, this is a guy again who stalked Tammy, got himself admitted to her rehab so he could meet her. So remember, that's the level we're starting with. And then this is like, oh, you like smell good stuff here. And it's like, you just missed the mark. It's so close, but yet no, so far.
It was so sweet because I feel bad because he doesn't have experience dating. There's no way this guy is like extremely experienced.
No, so not at all.
It's almost like middle school. Like, you know, here's my box. Well, then
this is what I thought on my second watch of it, was that his only experience with smell good stuffs is stuff like that, because as a big person who probably doesn't have great hygiene, like I feel like maybe that's what his smell good stuff is for him.
Well, also, you know? He doesn't leave the house very much, so it's not like he's going shopping and seeing all the different stores, and I don't know, he's not out in the world. He's been
so sad.
I know, sad. He's confined to a wheelchair, sad, basically.
The sad package. And Tammy's like, oh, this is great.
Right?
She has such a pissed look on her face.
She's like, damn, do I stink that bad?
Right? You know?
But then she asked him afterwards if he had gotten weighed. And he said he didn't want to. Well, why are you in rehab if you're not going to monitor your progress?
Well, as we find out later, which is a whole shock, not at all, that he has been emotionally eating way more than he's let on to Tammy. Mm-hmm.
Which you can see the way he looks in that clip. I mean, he just looks bigger.
Well, and he's talking about going to the fair and only eating like a burger and maybe some, what did he call him? Oscars. Did he call him Oscars?
Ostrich eggs or something?
Oh, ostrich. That's it. Ostrich. Mm-hmm. Then they start talking, and then that led him down the other thing. But like, it's clear. And that's why he didn't want to get weighed, because he knows he hasn't, you know, been doing what he needs to do. And so, of course, he's, you know, it's like Tammy going, you know, oh, have you been drinking? And he's like, nope. While he's got a whole like mini fridge full of, you know,
sodies.
Well, I mean, alcohol, I was thinking, you know, my always using this to compare to alcohol, you know, you've been drinking, and she's living in the sober house, and he's, you know, got his mini fridge full of, I don't know. I don't know what he would drink.
Yeah.
It's truly hard seltzer. I don't know. Truly. Isn't that a hard seltzer?
It is, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Because they didn't come out with hard seltzers until after I got sober, so.
Which is a good thing, because they're sneaky.
Yeah. Well, I you have could a probably friend.
Pound a few of them.
I have a friend who was at a barbecue, and she's 15 years sober, and she accidentally drank some of one. Can you imagine? I mean, she, like, spit it out, like, whatever and stuff, but having that hit you and realizing it, oh, my God. Like, that fuck with my head, man.
Was she okay after that?
Yeah. And then, like, she talked to her sponsor. She talked to a lot of friends, and, you know, she worked through it and everything. But it was just like, I mean, that's such a mind fuck, you know, such a mind fuck. But yeah, that's part of what truly is one of my nightmares. Like, I literally have nightmares about accidentally ingesting alcohol. And then after that, after I've already gotten it in my system going, well, fuck it, I'll just drink anyway, because it's already in my system. That's literally what my nightmares are made of. And I never know necessarily how it gets in my system. Like, the dream like doesn't start there always. So I don't necessarily know how it got there. So something like that, it terrifies me. It's one of the reasons why, like, whenever I go to happy hours or any event, I'm always getting my own drink and carrying my own drink. I don't let somebody else, you know, get my drink for me. I always, like, watch it being made and stuff.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I don't eat food that's been cooked with alcohol, even though the alcohol cooks off. I personally don't. And that's just something that, like, some people do in recovery, some people don't. You know, it's entirely a personal thing. There's nothing wrong with either one. Anyway, but I digress.
All right. Well, then we see Tammy, Amy, and Chris going to get spray tanned. And they're literally sitting there pretty much naked. Everyone's in their undies. Which reminded me of something that got, I haven't really brought up the single life on our podcast at all.
Oh,
but
no,
one of the funniest scenes that they cut was Danielle getting spray tanned.
Nice.
And so it reminded me of, like, just, like, being completely naked, pretty much. Cameras on you. And I have to say that they're very brave for letting the cameras capture those moments of, because it's, like, super personal. You're, like, naked almost.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Good power. More power to them.
Yeah, good on them.
Yeah. So after they get spray tanned, they go bathing suit shopping, which I'm like, not a good idea after you just had spray tan, but whatever. And again, they're being brave, like, coming out of the dressing room, showing what they look like in bathing suits. That takes a lot.
Yeah.
I like Misty's bathing suit. I feel like she lost a lot of weight.
I know.
It was purple. It looked so pretty, like a little dress.
And getting her diabetes and stuff under control obviously helped her a lot too.
Super cool. And that's when Amanda was like, I might have me a real cocktail. Or maybe just a cock. I was like,
I know. You said it. You said it. I wasn't sure you were going to.
Oh, I'm
going
to say it. I don't even care anymore. Whatever. It's late. Cock. Sorry, everyone listening. Or not.
Or not. Sorry, not sorry.
Yep. Well, now that they've been tanned and they went shopping and everything, they're ready for their Florida trip.
They all did get really cute bathing suits. I got to say, I loved all of their bathing suits.
So cute.
They were all really, really, really nice. I liked them all.
Yeah. So the family heads to the airport to leave for their trip. And Amy is riding with her nephew, who is Amanda's son, with the kids to Florida since she won't fly. And she's like, it's going to take 9 hours in my head. I'm thinking, like, with two kids? Yeah, right. It's going to take three times that amount, probably.
Yeah, at least. God, it ended up taking longer. Okay. So we need to talk about Amy not flying. Mm-hmm. Like, what a pain in the ass. Like, really? Okay.
But in a way, I get it. With two small kids flying, I sort of get it. But then you just get there quicker. You don't have to...
Then she's driving and she's having a hard time, right? She's having a rough time. She's complaining about her butt. Do you know how many toys I saw for Gage and Glenn? Zero. She didn't bring a goddamn single fucking toy for those kids for that drive. She had the tablet, but that was it.
Oh, see, I didn't pay attention.
Yeah,
I was typing.
See, I paid attention. Well, I was paying attention. And one of my friends was like, does she even have a toy for it? Like, what? No wonder those kids are screaming. Like, she can't, as Tammy says later, she can't keep the kids on a schedule. Okay, I get it, right? It's like kids and whatever. But you've got to at least try to maintain something. And we'll talk about that more later. But the drive. Amy, as an adult, is having a hard time.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what those kids are? At least she has a phone she can look at. Can you imagine how hard it is for those kids?
Oh, my goodness.
A single goddamn toy for them.
Yeah, that's not good.
Find out, she didn't bring a playpen. She didn't bring anything.
Right.
And they drove. It's not like she had the excuse of like, oh, well, we're flying and you have limited stuff. Like, you had a whole fucking van you could have put that shit in.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, that was rough. That was hard for me.
I procrastinate. I have ADHD. I forget shit.
Uh-huh.
But at a most like basic level, I'm going to remember the big ticket, like big basic items I need.
Yeah.
And that was very surprising to find out all that information later. Yeah.
Like you have like a diaper bag, right? And you probably got a couple of toys stuck in your diaper bag. If nothing else, you know, because she's still in diapers, right? At this point, she's not.
Oh, she's transitioning. It's been fun.
She's transitioning, isn't she? Run around the house peeing naked.
She isn't doing that anymore. Now I picked her up from daycare today and they had her in underwear.
Oh.
And it lasted for a while. And then I put her on the potty 3 times after we got home. Mommy, I go pee pee and potty. Yes. Yes, you do. And then sure enough, mommy, I go pee pee in underwear. Okay, fine. And then later on, I put a pull up on her and then she decides to have a massive blowout in the pull up. So,
yeah.
Anyways. Yes. Anyways, that's been fun.
That's the fun. Fun. But you still have diapers, you still have bottles, right? Or no, I guess
no bottles.
But you have water, cups. You have something for her to drink, right? You have like a snack, something. I mean, so if you have a bag that has that kind of stuff in it, you've got to have at least a couple toys, something.
Yeah.
And this it's just more evidence of how, like I said a couple weeks ago, I think that Amy needs parenting lessons. So anyway,
and remember these people have not had good role models, this family.
Right. I know.
And they're all like kind of messed up in their own way.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Yep. Well, it's
and exciting. Then Amy kept complaining later about, well, I just drove here. It was a long drive. Yeah. Because you chose to. You can't like you created the problem that you're complaining about. So shut up, you know.
I mean, I don't know how long the flight is from Kentucky to Pensacola. I'm going to guess it's probably, 2 hours?
They said, they were saying on the show that the total travel time, like from door to door, was like 5 hours.
So hour in the airport, probably. Yeah, so it's probably the flight itself
on each end.
A couple, 2.5 hours, 3 hours?
Yeah.
So it would have been a lot easier for her.
And she had all those people that could have helped with the kids.
Yeah.
On the flight.
My guess is she didn't even want to go. And production was like, no, let's go. Let's do it. Because that's a lot, taking 2 kids. I mean, I've missed out on things with Kaya because I'm like, I just don't have the energy to do it.
Yeah. And we can talk about that some in the next episode, too. The problems that Amy's complaining about having kids on vacation.
Yeah,
which is a complete legitimate issue. Uh-huh. Kids on vacation is not.
It's not a vacation. It's not a vacation.
Anyway.
Well, Tammy gets on the airplane and she's shaking. So we finally see Tammy for the first time getting on an airplane. And not only that, she only takes up one seat, which I don't believe. We didn't really see a good angle.
No.
But she says she doesn't go into the second seat. So
I'm sure she goes into it some, but she could have, like, if somebody else was there, it would have been.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, but she had purchased both seats, so
yep. And then they get to Florida and they walk into their beautiful rental,
gorgeous and little house, gorgeous little big house,
right? And Tammy's able to walk up the stairs, the little booster thingy.
Oh god, yeah.
And then we see the flashback to the episode where they tried to do the family vacation and Amy freaked out, or Tammy freaked out and went back to the hotel. So that was fun.
Oh, yeah. So much fun.
Yeah. So they're still waiting for Amy, but she's not there yet.
Nope.
But then the next morning, Amy gets to sleep in because that's nice. She finally made it. then
Finley makes it. She sleeps in. They're taking care of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Amy finally wakes up and comes out. And what does she say?
I don't remember.
She talked about how tired she was because the boys are keeping her up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they're
yeah.
like, we've been taking care of the boys all morning. Like, what are you talking about? What are the boys doing? Take yeah. What are you... You're not taking care of them right now. Like, we've been having for the last few hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So the family decides to go to the beach. They're packing up the vehicles. Of course, the kids are getting a little antsy or whatever. Gage starts crying.
They're on no schedule whatsoever. And whatever semi, like, oh, they start falling asleep. They keep getting woken up to go do whatever.
Right. So Amy starts having a breakdown. Before they even get into the van to go to the mm-hmm. beach.
Which does not bode well.
Nope. They do finally arrive at the beach. And then we see the huge wheelchair that Tammy gets to sit in, which is cool.
The beach wheelchairs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've seen those before. They're common amongst my multiple sclerosis online, like Instagram people.
Oh, to I've do like them. Go on the beach so they can
yeah,
get
yeah,
in.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I knew this one girl who actually, she lived in Pennsylvania, and then she and her husband moved to North Carolina, the beach. They live at the beach, and she's in a wheelchair most of the time. And so she actually owns one of these beach wheelchairs, so she can just go roll out there.
That's awesome. In the morning
and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
That's good. So people can actually get to go to the beach. You wouldn't normally be able to.
Yes. Disability awareness mm-hmm. stuff. Mobility Definitely. Aids, as we call them.
Mobility aids. And Tammy's been wanting to go to the beach forever. That's like been on her bucket list of things to do.
Mm-hmm.
But when she gets stuck in the wheelchair, oh my God.
Oh my God. So funny. I mean, I get the fear of like falling and not being able to get up. I've fallen and I can't get up. Oh, I just aged myself.
Oh, me too. I've seen the Alex commercial.
And then, but then, like, it was kind of funny when she was, like, all stuck with her leg hanging off the side.
Misty had to lift it up. Yeah. All right, so they're on the beach enjoying themselves, and Chris pulls down his shorts to show us his cool little swim trunks.
With Brittany's face on him.
And with Brittany has her, and she has her headband on in the
headband. Yep. Trunks. That's what we call our headband.
Mm-hmm. Tammy would not go down to the water, which sucks because she was scared she's going to fall in and not be able to get up.
I get it. But yeah. That's why you have that wheelchair. Wheel it down to the water. It can go in the water. Like that's, and you could put your feet in the water.
Mm-hmm.
You could roll it right there into the water. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, it looks like Amy was having fun. She was laughing with the boys and rolling around in the water.
Yeah. So she's having a good time.
Now, Katrina, you have a child. I have a child. You know what it's like when they've spent all day outside and they're in a new environment, new climate, new everything.
Oh my God, yes.
So after the beach, they decide to go out to like a family dinner after being out in the sun all day with the two children.
That wasn't very smart of them.
I blame production. Nope.
I would have called an audible on that. Like, I get wanting to go to a fun restaurant. You put their new clothes on. Let's have fun. But that day, that wasn't the right choice because given how exhausted the boys were and stuff, like, you know, they're like Glenn, I guess, is young enough where he can like fall asleep in his infant mm-hmm. seat, the car seat or whatever, and you can right. just carry that.
That was the easiest time of my parenting was when I would right. just sleep in the seat.
Oh my God, wasn't it? Like yes. they weren't sleeping the best because they're so little and stuff, but oh my God, they were so much easier to manage then because
yeah.
they could fall asleep. And then now that she's getting potty trained, like that adds a whole other level of complication.
Mm-hmm.
To driving, to road trips, you know, all of that, because you're not relying on them peeing in their pants anymore. You got to like That's stop true. And, you know, it's a whole thing. Yeah, they should have called an audible and done like maybe sent Chris to the grocery store. This is what I would have done if that was my family. We just got back to the beach. I would say probably we'd all probably take naps, probably spend the next couple hours taking naps, relaxing, whatever. Everybody catching up on their devices, all the kids and stuff, because we've done family vacations at the beach, right? That's probably what we would do. And then I'd send Chris to the grocery store to get stuff to cook, because, you know, he does cooking, you know, and then cook there and eat out back against the water. That's what I would do given that situation, and do the dinner a different time.
I 100% agree.
But I'm flexible like that. Production probably was not.
Exactly. I would have hired a babysitter to come to the house while I went out to eat with my family.
There you go. There you go.
That's what I would have done.
Oh, yeah. I've done that before, too.
Actually, I'm way weird. I haven't even, like, that's a whole other thing.
That's a whole other thing.
Yeah. But no, I would have problem solved. I would have not have brought those two children to the restaurant.
Right. Because we all knew that that was not going to go well. It was just not going to go well.
And you know, too, and you pull out all the tricks, like all of them are parents, right? So they are, right. Except for Tammy. Everyone knows the tricks to pull out.
Well, Tammy had better instinct about parenting those boys than Amy does. As we see in the next episode, some of the things that she was saying and doing were like, wow, she's got an instinct for this that maybe Amy doesn't have right now, or maybe Amy doesn't have access to it right now, given her mental state. I would say that's probably more like.
And I will say the age that Gage is at, I think that was the hardest. Like Kaya at two, like one and a half, two was way harder than three, because they just want to move. They don't understand that they can sit down and they can, you know.
Right. Because they just learn to move and they're exploring their environment and figuring out the world around them. And they just want to. Yeah.
Yeah. So Amanda was like, everyone was trying to distract, but it just didn't work. So of course Gage starts throwing a fit, and then Amanda's like, I'm taking Gage. We're going home. He needs to go to sleep, which she's right. The kid needed to go to sleep.
Yeah.
But of course Amy can't drive, and you know.
Yeah.
So then they left, leaving the rest of the family to have their wonderful dinner.
Yeah.
And then that's
at least Amy left with her. You know, they took both boys, and both of them went, and they put the boys to bed. And guess what? They probably went right to sleep.
Of course. And the thing is, Chris was like, they're all talking about Amy and everything going on. And Chris made it a point of saying that Amy doesn't go to bed when the kids go to bed. She stays up. We know Amy's like, you know, suffering through some sort of maybe, you know.
She's definitely postpartum.
Right. Depression. Yeah, something's going on.
And then there's obviously other whatever. I mean, clearly it's there's a lot of postpartum depression, anxiety. There could be, you know, certainly other levels of depression, anxiety. She's dealing with a lot. I would not surprise me if there were other diagnoses in there, you know, even albeit temporary ones. You know, like I don't think she has a mood disorder, but she might be going through a period where she needs some mood control. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, you know, if she's not sleeping and taking care of herself, then, you know, Chris is like, put your phone down and go to bed when the kids go to bed.
Right. And she's not. And she says she is, but she's not. And she's not sleeping right. And she's not sleeping well because she's not eating well. She's not taking her meds. She's not wearing her CPAP. And you, as a CPAP wearer, we've talked about this, know the difference in the quality of sleep you have without your CPAP. You know, and she's just not doing any of the things. So, of course, she's going to feel like shit. She's not going to be able to sleep. You know, she's going to be sick, and she's not going to have the tolerance to take care of her kids. And she's not sleeping, which makes it all worse. And then they're not sleeping, and she can't keep them on any kind of schedule, any kind of semblance of a schedule. Understanding, of course, that kids, you know, don't dictate. I mean, schedules and kids, you know, like you do your best, right?
Right. I was lucky too, because my schedule was so fucking, and I'm dropping the F-bomb, so fucking crazy with like grad school when she was born, everything else, working nights, doing, it was so crazy. But the thing is that Kaya was so adaptable. Like a lot of kids, you know, a lot of parents are like very structured and routine, and that's great. But like, kids are resilient. I mean, they follow, like they can, if you do it right and you don't overstimulate them, like you can whatever. But I feel like Amy's, there's no structure. There's no
nothing,
anything going on. That's what the problem is. There's no,
you got to put him down for a nap. You know, the both boys mm-hmm. are different ages. They're probably going to nap at different hours. You know, the babies probably get like, what do they say? Like
2 naps a day, probably at least.
Right. Like at that age, it's like about, I remember one of the most helpful things that I read as a new parent was when I read that babies at that age, when they wake up and then about an hour and a half after they first wake up is when they generally will need to go down for their first nap. And when I read that hour and a half, and of course this was 20 years ago. So I don't know what it is all now, but that was when I learned that was like, it was like this magic time. I was like, oh, okay. I can plan for that. Oh, okay. He's being this way now. And okay. That makes sense. You know, mm-hmm. I can put him down for a nap and, you know, it might not go down great, or he might not go down for very long for that, you know, whatever, all of those variables, but at least you put him down.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, they need naps. Doesn't sound like Amy was doing any of that.
Mm-mm. So that's kind of how the episode leaves off. We're just
awesome
seeing them leave.
We will be right back with that episode 8. What's it called? Oh, Boiling Point. Boiling Point. Be right back.
Hey, fraudcasters. Everyone knows that finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge. I know I've always had problems with it, whether it was the fit or the quality. Luckily, the perfect t-shirt does exist, and you can find it at Skims, the maker of my perfect t-shirt bra. Now I have the perfect t-shirt to go with that bra. From either crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. My cotton jersey t-shirt is now a wardrobe staple for me. I reach for it almost every day, and the fit is so perfect because it snatches me right in at the waist. I've washed it a million times, and it's held its shape really well. It fits like a dream. I absolutely love it. And honestly, you guys, I thought like, okay, this shirt is going to be too small for me, and it's not going to fit right, and all the bulges are going to show. But it doesn't at all. I put it on and it magically stretches to fit me perfectly, and it holds all those bulges in. Every little but last bulge that I have is all held in, and it looks fantastic. I absolutely love it, and it is super, super comfortable, and it is one of my new favorite t-shirts. You can shop the Skims t-shirt collection at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small up to 4X. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu.
Hey, we're back. Here we mm-hmm. are.
Yep.
Caught up.
We're back at the rental house, and Amanda, Misty, and Chris are sitting outside talking about what happened with Amy and the kids. And she said she put the boys to bed and told Amy she sees she's struggling, but she's not always going to be there to jump in, which is true. I get it.
Yeah.
And Amanda was upset because she had bought all new clothes. She had lost weight. She had new bras, new panties, new everything. So she was
new
ready.
Drawers.
Yeah. She looked all pretty and ready to like have a one like fun night. But that all ended early. So Misty was like, why do you need new drawers?
Yeah. Because I want to get laid.
Exactly. Single and ready to mingle. Amanda does make a good point too of saying like when the kids feel when Amy feels overwhelmed and starts lashing out, that the kids feel that too. And they're taking on her emotions. Mm-hmm. They're going to act accordingly.
Yeah.
Kids are very good at reading you.
Yeah. Yes, they are.
Very good. So, and they also mentioned that Amy's not good with constructive criticism. So she asks for help. Then when they give her advice, she doesn't want to hear it. And these are people that have had a lot of kids. They've had a lot of experiences.
Right. And I, you know, you notice this over the couple of the, over the several episodes, right? You know, as mm-hmm. you're especially watching them back to back, right? You see where she's sitting there crying, asking for help. She's at the dinner table. She goes over to Chris and she says, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I need help. They're trying to help her, but she automatically takes it as this negative criticism statement on her own parenting.
Yeah.
versus like she takes it so personally. Like I like you see him later where they're talking about the putting Glenn down to bed or whatever. And like, I haven't been putting him down my whole life. No, well, you want help. I'm trying to give you help. Like you've been putting him down this way your whole life. Well, guess what? Tonight, that's not working. How's that? As Dr. Phil would say, how's that working out for you? Mm-hmm. It's not. So maybe try something else. And
yeah,
God, parenting is all about that, right? Is like one thing doesn't work. You got to figure out what does, and having other advice when you ask for it as a parent, not when it's offered to, given to you freely, like when people give you unwanted advice. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about having your girlfriends, you know, that I could go to and be like, what the fuck? Is this normal? I was just talking to yesterday to one of my bosses at work about she's got a son that's the same age as baby step product and has some of the exact same issues that we do when it comes to like screen time and, you know, this and that and the other thing. And it's just like so refreshing to go, oh, okay, well, what have you tried? Have you tried this? Oh, did that work? You know, to be able to bounce those ideas off and you know, oh, that was successful for you. Great. I'm going to implement that. I'm going to try that.
Well, you know damn well her mom isn't giving her any sort of feedback or advice because she's just like
her mom's Looney awful. Dude.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah. It's bad.
So Amy asks for help, but then when she gets it, she bitches about it. She takes it so personally. That's part of why she needs therapy, is she needs to understand that that's not attacking her parenting.
Yeah.
It's offering to help right now, which is not the same thing as attacking what you were doing.
Yeah.
And she needs to separate those two.
I remember, little side note, when I had my C-section and Kaya was a newborn, I think I was on day 3 of not really getting sleep because it was, again, just me. Like, my mom was here, but
yeah,
I was in the bassinet next to me. And after, like, 3 days of no sleep, really, and just pain, like, excruciating pain, I lost it. Kaya wouldn't sleep. She was screaming all night, no matter what I did, screaming. So finally, I woke my mom up at, like, 3 in the morning. I was like, I need help. I need help. And my mom was like, you need to swaddle her like this. And And I'll tell you what, my mom had the best swaddle and she went right to bed. But my point is, like, at some point, you just need support. You just need to ask and, like, you need to listen. And I lost my shit for a few minutes and there was mom to save me.
But it wasn't, mom saving you was not an attack on your parenting.
Right.
You know, which is how Amy takes it. It wasn't like by taking her and swaddling her in a different way than maybe you did doesn't mean you're bad and your swaddling's bad. It just means that at this moment, I mean, like, as a parent, you have to, I think you really got to be flexible like that because.
Well, I just, like, lost my shit. I was like, she was ice creaming. I started feeding her. I'm the worst parent. I don't know what to do. So, like, you know, you start, and I can feel Amy. I could feel Amy in watching these episodes because it's still fresh to me. I'm like, oh, I could feel that. But it's ask for still help.
A little traumatic.
And listen to help. Right. Listen to people.
You know, I had the same, a very similar experience because my baby daddy was in Korea when I delivered baby frauded. So it was me and my mom and my dad, you know, and my mom was only there like part of the time when I was still in the hospital, you know? And so, like, I couldn't have the baby in the room with me because I couldn't get out of bed with him if he needed it because I had just had the section. So he was in the nursery, like, you know, like
sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he was like, I remember a morning where he was just crying and I couldn't do anything. And I'm trying all the things that I could do. And I'm like willing my mom to just get there. I knew she was on her way. I'm just willing her to get there, like tell her to get there to help me. Yeah.
Yep.
100%.
Oh, it sucks. Well, Misty was like, Amy expects her, all of us, to run after the kids and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Well, after all this nonsense, we see the family going to a dolphin tour on a boat. And Tammy said she's been in a couple of small boats in the past and things didn't end well.
Well, she fell out of the bumper boat.
Amy, they show a picture of Tammy sitting in the bumper boat at Putt-Putt. And apparently Tammy fell out of that into the water. I don't know how they got her out, but
I don't know, man.
Now I know why she's scared of water, you know?
Right?
And you and I talked a little bit about this via text message, but I don't mommy shame anyone. I think that like everyone right. has their own system. Yeah. For the most right. part, but safety is one of those things where I'm just very, mm-hmm. I get very upset about seeing things that are unsafe, and seeing that the two babies did not have any life jackets on the boat.
And we're so close to the railing. They're holding on to the railing.
All it would take was like an accident. One little bump and then a baby flies off. And
not even a bump, but a toddler being a toddler when they throw themselves.
Right. They do. Toddlers throw themselves. And they
throw themselves all the time. Trying to hold Kaya. So she's a wiggly little worm.
No, they're like little wrestlers. They're like little jujitsu players. Yeah. You know, they're like, they know how to like get out of holds and stuff.
Yes. So if they're holding these babies, the babies are holding onto the wires, and like I mean, you already had quote unquote turbulence, as they called it. You've got this storm coming in, and these babies are there. They're bouncing around. They're not even like half paying attention because there's so much going on. Like, oh my God, I had so much anxiety watching that.
Me too. Me like, too.
Why didn't they not have life jackets on?
No. And then you see at the beginning, though, when they first got on the boat, I don't know what her title is, but the woman on the boat working was holding up the vest, like showing them where they are, which I get for adults, but like right. those kids should have had like,
yeah, I'm 100%.
Pretty sure it's the law in Maryland, you have to wear life vests.
Yeah. I think I think pretty much it's the law. Maybe everywhere, not Florida. Right? I don't know. Fucking
so
Florida.
Boats. I don't know. I'm going to Google it later. 100%.
They should have.
Okay. So after our anxiety was just like, ooh.
Yeah.
Tammy made me feel a little bit better because she looked so happy.
She was having such a good time.
Yes.
Yes. All of the things, even the turbulence on the airplane and stuff, mm-hmm. she was still having a blast. She's like, I kind of was sad when we were landing because then like it was over.
Yeah. Yeah. I was definitely happy for her. After the dolphin tour, which we don't see any dolphins, it got cut short because of the weather.
Because it's Florida and you get an afternoon thunderstorm in northern Florida every day.
Yep. Tammy calls Caleb from Florida, and this is where he was unshaven, and that's when he really looked like he gained some weight. Mm-hmm. He just didn't look good. Like, I'm not even talking physically. I just mean like all over, like something.
Everything.
He just didn't look good.
Yeah.
He was coughing and I don't know. He just didn't look good.
But then also, you know, I don't know what's the phraseology I'm looking for. I want to say bringing down Tammy, but like that makes it sound really, really bad. Like, oh man, you're killing her vibe. But it's like her husband and she cares about him and stuff. Right. But like also, yeah, you're killing her vibe. Like, because you're I don't want to say you're a piece of shit because you're just a weirdo and whatnot, but you're clearly not ready to do what it is that she needs you to do. And that's okay. You're not the husband she needs right now.
Well, and that's the thing is, I don't even know if it's him bringing her down or what she said when she was like, I'm just leaving him further behind, you know?
Yeah. Like I hate that his lack of progress makes her feel guilty. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And I
she shouldn't feel guilty. She didn't do anything wrong.
She shouldn't feel guilty for her success.
Right.
Being made to feel guilty for her success, whether that's of her own making or if it's Caleb or whatever, but she's feeling guilty about her own success because he's not succeeding. And that makes me resent him on her behalf.
Okay. You said it so eloquently. Yes.
I did.
Yes. You said everything I wanted to say, but better.
Okay.
Anywho, okay, Chris goes parasailing, which doesn't even matter, whatever, it was fine.
Yes, but I thought that this was a funny scene. Dude, Brittany was wearing a life jacket in this scene.
Yes.
I would 100% go parasailing, and everybody else like, my God, he's so fucking stupid. Da, da, da. I'm like, dude, relax, man.
First of all, okay, if that cord gets cut, he's just gonna slowly float down into the water.
It'll be fine.
If the chute fails, I mean, it'll hurt. 500. Whatever. Okay, he'll break some bones, maybe. I don't know. But he'll be fine. He'll be fine.
Why couldn't they just be like, I wouldn't do it, but I'll have fun up there. Instead, they're like, you're so fucking stupid. I was just like, yo, you guys are a little aggro about this. Doesn't need to be that serious. Like,
it doesn't. I agree. I love parasailing. It's relaxing. It's calm.
I've never done it, but I would 100% do
it. You've never done it?
No.
What? Why not?
No. All my water sports history of sailing and water skiing and everything else, I've not done parasailing.
Why not?
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
Never had the opportunity, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, never sought it out.
I used to go all the time every summer.
Can we do it in Annapolis? I don't know. Is there any boating? Any boating happening out there?
A lot of boating, but no parasailing. You could go to Ocean City, though.
Ocean City?
Yeah. Yep.
Ew, I don't like Ocean City. It's just dirty and gross.
Well, you need to go in the off season.
It's true.
Like the tail end of the
crazy. I went in July for my anniversary.
No.
My husband took me there.
That's madhouse. All right. Well, then while Chris is parasailing, Amanda and Misty are with Tammy waiting for him. So they're watching him go and they're at this like very calm beach. The water's not even moving and it's very shallow. It's like barely past their calf muscles. And they're Tammy won't get in the water. She won't get in the water and they keep trying.
Yep. Chris could have done it when she had the damn wheelchair.
I know. And I get her being scared. We know she has anxiety because she's very anxious about a lot of things.
And walking, and I get the anxiety she has that there, like, and falling down and stuff. But there are workarounds. You've done a lot of things to adapt to it. Like, hey, you had the wheelchair. You can wheel right into the water, you know, and then you could get your feet in the water. Your tootsie's in the water, as she said in one episode, you know.
Maybe next year we can see her actually putting her feet in. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Well, then she starts crying and I was like, oh no, here we go. She's pulling Amy. But it was really because she was upset about missing Caleb. And Caleb's being interviewed and he says, I miss her so much. I haven't been honest with her. My emotional eating has spiraled.
This is my shocked face.
Yeah. Yep. And
we all saw that coming.
Yeah, exactly. After the parasailing and all that, the family decides to do dinner at the house. Which they had this like big seafood dinner spread all over the table. That looks like something we do in Maryland. Yeah, it looks like a boil. Like in Maryland, you just throw down the paper. You have our crabs everywhere. They had everything, which is something they should have done night one. But what do I know?
No, so watching this, my friend Natasha was like, is that tinfoil? Like, why do they have tinfoil on the table? Which I personally haven't seen tinfoil used, but I've seen newspaper and, you know, whatever, all kinds of other things used. But I was like, oh, well, he's doing, it must be a low country boil. And they come in and they dump all the food. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh my God, that's so gross. That's so weird. Like, are they just hillbillies doing that? And then Tammy and Amy are talking about, oh, you know, we're not pigs. We don't do this often. And I'm like, has nobody else heard of a low country boil before? Like, I'm not a Southerner, but I've been forced to live in the South. Technically, I live in the South now, too. I mean, technically, I am below the Mason-Dixon line, although I never consider Northern Virginia the South, even though
it is.
But I've lived in Florida. I've lived in North Florida, okay, which is basically South Georgia. And we had these were all the time. And I don't take a lot of things from the South that I bring into my life now. But low country boils are one of them because I fucking love them.
Yeah.
With lobster and asparagus. I mean, whatever. You throw that kind of, you know, sausage and potatoes and all that crab and shrimp in front of me, I'm going to eat it. You know, and corn and stuff, I'm going to eat it. I'm sorry. I mean, that's like the one thing. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what you put in it. Like, I, you know, even if I have a fear of like potluck food sometimes because you don't know where it came from and you're dumping all this food in front of you all of a sudden, like everybody's touching it. I'm like, oh, but for some reason it doesn't bother me there.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at the dinner table, of course, Gage and Glenn, well, she puts Glenn down to bed and then Gage is like on the couch watching his iPad or whatever he's watching. And then he starts getting upset and she's holding him and he's tired, whatever. She burps in his face while she's feeding him. Yes, sorry.
She takes the food over to him on the couch and they're all like, no, don't feed him on the couch. And she's like, I'm just going to see if he wants a bite. Gets very defensive.
Yeah.
We'll see if he has a bite, wants a bite. And again, it's one of those things where her automatically getting defensive about the situation makes her unable to hear what they're saying to her, that and that how that might actually be helpful.
But in her defense, they could have said, communicated better. Like,
they absolutely,
hey, Amy, that's a rental. Remember, we just don't want to get the food on the rental because we don't want to get in trouble. Yeah. Right. But I get it. Like, I get both sides. And it's common sense would have been like, no, don't eat on the couch. Like, I would have never fed Kai on anybody's couch. Nobody's couch but my own.
You can feed it on my couch.
Oh, well, that's nice. Thank you. I'll be destroyed in 2 seconds, but yeah.
She can't do any worse than what my dogs do, so.
You'd be surprised. But yeah, no, I'm kidding.
Hey, she's been here.
Yeah.
It's been fine.
Yes. So that's when we learned, too, that Amy didn't bring a high chair, didn't bring a playpen, didn't bring anything for the kids, really. And they just, the house actually just had like a playpen and a high chair for anyone that had kids.
I feel like production would have verified that the house had that stuff before they went down.
I agree.
And maybe they didn't tell her. I don't know. Cause she just acted like she didn't know and she didn't have any plans for any of it. And Amanda's face when she said that was like, that was our thoughts during the drive when she didn't have a single toy for the kids.
And you know how kids get bored so easily of one toy? They'll play with it for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. They need something new. They need to be stimulated. They need,
You're at a rental house. You don't have your same setup, you know, so where the kids are used to what, you know, bookshelves at their height that have kid friendly, appropriate things that, you know, you don't have it kid proofed, you know,
right.
So it is harder work to take kids on vacation. I've totally done it at their age, right? Like, I remember taking baby Frida on vacation at that age. Like, it's a lot. I do understand that. But y'all, you got to bring something. Like, you got to plan for it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's why she needs parenting lessons.
Yeah.
To learn about putting them on a schedule, to put them on, like, make sure they get their naps, to make sure they get all of this stuff, like, their basic stuff, because like just the thing, like learning that babies at that certain age go down for their first nap about an hour and a half after they wake up. You know, it just learning that, it was like, oh, huge, you know, like it maybe just little things like that, if Amy learns these, make her life so much better.
Yeah, she needs structure too. I don't know if she's working or if she's just making money from the show and like doing her YouTube stuff. When I say working, I mean like something structured where
I don't think she is. She's taking care of her mom.
Yeah. And so she's trying to watch the boys. They're not in daycare. They're not.
There's no structure for anybody.
No structure. No.
So nobody's going to sleep at a reasonable hour. Nobody's getting fed at a reasonable hour on any kind of schedule. I know when I get like that, I get whacked out. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Like, look at all of us over the like Christmas, New Year break. Right. Everyone's always commenting during that week between Christmas and New Year's about how nobody knows what day of the week it is. And we're all eating too much cheese and crackers. And what do we do? And our brains don't work and stuff. That's just 1 week. Right. Can you imagine if that was just your daily life with all that family around all the time?
Nope.
I couldn't imagine.
This is where shit starts to get real in this episode.
Yes.
So
I'm ripe about the producers.
You're what?
I have a gripe about the producers.
Well, Tammy and Amy begin to argue about getting Glenn back to sleep. Obviously, the production had taken a break or whatever. The cameras weren't on, but they were still mic'd. And Tammy starts yelling at Amy to calm down. Amy says she's going home. And what we later find out is Tammy was literally telling Amy, hey, did you try this? Did you try changing the diaper? Did you try, you know, making sure he's warm? Like basic things that you kind of
see,
like,
this is what I'm talking about with Tammy having this instinct about what to do with the kids that Amy seems to be unable to access right now.
Right, exactly. Well, Amy starts yelling at Amanda and said, "You promised me you would help me with the kids and you haven't." Does she not remember Amanda literally picking up Gage and leaving the restaurant with him to put him to
right.
bed?
Was Tammy not trying to help put the baby down right then? Like, what are you talking about, Amy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then Amy starts going off at Amanda saying, "You think you're everyone's boss, blah, blah, blah." And then Amy went to physically attack Amanda. She pushed her and it looked like her fingers got on, like somehow.
She did. She was physically beating on her.
Right.
And Amanda like turned herself like kind of sideways backwards to like take the brunt of it or whatever, but like not let her go forward, like whatever. She like blocked a lot of it.
She was taking a defensive stance rather than beating her back, it looked
yes,
like to me.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And Amanda, what, how tall did she say she was? 6 foot? Something
big
like
girl.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
She would whoop Amy's ass, let's be honest.
Oh, God, sorry. Yeah.
Like,
she could whoop her with like both arms tied behind her back.
Yes. This was like an episode of Jerry Springer or some shit.
Because Amy was just going, just wailing on her.
She could feel the rage. I don't know if you could. I was feeling her rage.
I was feeling her rage. Yeah.
From watching.
A little reminiscent of the Rage Room as she was wailing on Amanda.
The Rage Room, yeah.
So here's where I'm annoyed with the producers at this point, though, is because
they didn't jump in.
No, because they didn't catch it on video. Like, where the fuck were they? It was like a 90 Day Fiance when the producers and the film crew weren't there when Sumit and Jenny's in-laws showed up to like kidnap Sumit at Jenny's house. It was like the heat when she found out he was married and all that stuff. Like, the cameras weren't there. Like,
my guess is they were eating their dinner because they had just filmed the cast eating their dinner. So it was probably their legal. They have to take legal breaks themselves. So they were probably eating their dinner. Because there was times when we filmed when they were like, okay, we legally have to take a break right now.
Okay.
For union purposes.
Like, right, so right. Okay.
That would be my guess.
That makes a lot of sense because you're right. They were still mic'd up.
Mm-hmm.
But if they have to put their cameras down and take a break, yeah, you're right. Okay.
Yep.
All right. All right. I rescind my complaint then.
But they should have had maybe like little cameras posted up right in the house catching
little
stuff, but, you know,
Furbos in the corners and stuff.
Some Furbos for the dogs. Oh, wait, there are no dogs there. So Chris blocked her from leaving because Amy was saying how she was leaving, and then she starts yelling, "There's 20 goddamn people in this house and I'm chasing them by myself." And this is where I feel like she's not asking for the right help. Like, I think she didn't ask, "Hey, Chris, can you watch them for a few minutes while I go take a break?" Or can you?
Right.
There's no community. She's expecting people to do
that. Yes. That's what Misty was saying. She was like, she just puts him down, like, it expects us to go chase after him, you know, versus like, "Hey, can you watch them?" or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This annoyed me in the sense, too, that though that Chris was like, "No, you're not leaving. You're not leaving." Like, I would have just let the bitch leave.
But she was going to take the kids.
What is she going to do? Start walking down the street? She can't drive.
She thought she was going to drive. I mean, to me, I don't remember what she said, but I thought she was going
to
like, take
her vehicle. She was
going
to get Justin to try to drive her. And no, Justin says no. What are you going to do? Let the bitch try to walk out. It's like when a little kid's like, "I'm going to run away from home." Okay.
Go, yeah, but I don't know. I don't think it would be a good idea for her to take the kids in any capacity if she's willing.
No, but she wouldn't have gone anywhere because she can't fucking drive, right?
Yeah.
So she would have just tried to walk out of the door. Okay. Because she wouldn't have gotten very far. She would, that Chris standing there, like, no, I would have called her bluff because that girl was not going anywhere.
I would have blocked her and I would have not let her leave the house with those kids in any capacity.
She wouldn't have left the house. And if she did, she wouldn't have gotten down the driveway. Guarantee it. 100% guarantee it.
Yeah. She needs help.
Yeah.
So finally, production decides to step in and tell Amy, like, "Go to the room. We're separating you all."
Yeah.
And Chris said it's the worst he's ever seen Amy lose her shit. And even Amanda says, "I've never seen Amy act this way before."
Yeah.
So she needed to walk away to give, you know, Amy a chance to catch her breath.
Right. And
she also said too, like, there, I could beat her if I wanted to. I could beat her ass, but like, she needs help. Like,
that's not good. Yeah. You know,
it's not going to do anything.
But then she's like, don't get it twisted though. I'm still human. You're only going to push me, but so far.
Right. Right.
You know, and honestly, for a hillbilly family, they have not responded in a hillbilly fashion, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda could have gone and beat the shit out of her, and she didn't.
Yeah. So I'm a little bit upset, though, that I maybe we don't see everything, because I feel like, I don't want to say production is using Amy or using her mental health stuff going on as drama, but I feel like they should have stepped in earlier. I feel like we should have seen some sort of
intervention.
Yeah, like, so hey, rather than taking them fucking spray tanning, take her to a goddamn therapist.
Right.
Be serious. Like,
yeah,
get this woman some help. Like, I feel like
yeah.
And so maybe she is getting help and we're not seeing it on camera. Yeah, I would hope so. But
it doesn't sound like it, because the way that the siblings are talking, they're like, no, this is just becoming the norm now. Yeah. Like, at the beginning, it was happening here and there. We understood. We gave her grace. It's okay. But then it just kept happening more and more. And it was becoming the norm. And it's just not sustainable anymore.
You know? Leave it up to TLC to just not give a shit about people.
Like, right. In general, right.
You know,
100%. 100%. They should have stepped in earlier. Because, like, it was, what, 2 episodes ago, I was like, if they don't separate Amy from those kids, you're going to talk about, like, infanticide charges. Like, and I'm not even kidding.
I know. It's scary. Yeah.
Not just Amy, but any woman in that situation.
Yeah. Right?
That's what happens when mothers kill their children, you know, happens in these kinds of situations where postpartum and psychosis and all these things start happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's no shame in it. Just like, it needs to be, you need to be separated. And, yeah. And I feel like TLC should have stepped in sooner, but no, they were exploiting her.
Exploiting. That's the word I was looking for at midnight.
It was very exploitive. The fact that they let it go as far as it did.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, they let Amanda sit there and take the hits for how long?
Yeah. Yeah. It was scary.
I mean, Amanda's probably bigger than any of those cameramen, but still.
100%. Yeah. Yep. Well, Amy tries to apologize to Amanda, and Amanda's like, no, get away from me. Fair enough. Amanda needs her space after that.
Yeah.
To calm down or whatever. And that is the end of the episode.
Frankly, I don't know that I would accept the apology right then either, because with something like that, that's deep, right? There's deep-rooted shit there. And you're not going to be able to properly apologize to me within 2 minutes of it happening, because you have not properly reflected on it and done the digging and the personal work you need to do to figure out what actually happened and what it is you're actually apologizing for.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, maybe diffusing the fight situation by, like, you know, maybe, you know, hey, look, I'm sorry, whatever, but not talking about it, because, like, I don't know. But she clearly wasn't ready, and Amy was trying to force it. No, mm-hmm. no, but I'm sorry. And it's like,
she was still hysterical.
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yep. Next time on the season finale, which I can't believe we're at the season finale already.
And I can't believe they're going to show us what I think they're going to show us, because I was just wondering if that was going to be part of the show.
Me too. Amy feels horrible and ashamed for what she did. And we then see Tammy getting a text message and breaking down, and we see a lot of people hovering around her, and we can only assume it was
looks like the news of Caleb's passing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's probably Caleb's passing.
Yeah.
Which, holy shit. I can't believe they're going to show it. Well, like, I guess we're just talking about how exploitive they are. I guess it's not surprising. So, so there we are. And we're all caught up on 1,000-Pound Sisters. We're going to get you caught up on Sister Wives and keep on going. I think we're going to get some My 600-Pound Life starting soon.
Yay.
I saw some new like marathons and new shows that they were showing that they don't usually show, which are kind of like in the realm of the things they do to get your interest.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Bravo shows a Below Deck marathon, because which they've been doing because a new season of Below Deck starts tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Or like they've been doing the Vanderpump Rules marathons because Vanderpump Rules started last night.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like this seems to be those kinds of programming. And also like next week is like premiere week on like all the other stuff. So I feel like the other networks and everything. So I feel like it's coming soon.
I hope so.
That's just a hunch, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do have somewhat of an inside scoop into My Sex or My Life. Maybe we should just ask some people, like Wes.
See if he knows. Oh, right. Well, he's going to be on a Where Are They Now?
Episode. He is. Yeah.
We know that. All uh-oh. Right.
Are we supposed to drop that bomb?
Ooh. I think he's dropped it. So we're not sharing anything that he hasn't already.
You're right. He did make some posts. Yeah.
He did put some stuff up about his surgery and stuff. His lymphedema surgery.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's all we got for now. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you. Bye.
Hey, fraudcasters. You know, I used to find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting. They were the first thing to take off when I got home. But Skims has changed all that. You guys know I love my Skims Fits Everybody t-shirt bras. I own them in just about every shade now. I wear them every single day when I leave the house. And they are completely worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give. But what I was not expecting from them was how comfortable they are. Even the underwire bras that I wear all day, I barely even notice. Definitely not the first thing I take off when I come home anymore. Y'all, I'm a 36 double D and I've had a reduction and I've gone up and down and lost weight and gained weight and all the things. And the Fits Everybody t-shirt bra, I swear, fits me the best. I finally found a t-shirt bra that I can wear. But not only that, it is the best bra that I own. It holds the girls in so well. And let me just say, Hetero Life Mate really appreciates these bras too. Shop Skims bras at skims.com. Now available in 62 sizes from a 30A to a 46H. Plus, get free shipping on orders over $75. And if you haven't yet, please be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show, The Fraudcast, in the drop-down menu that follows.